This is part two of the Robert Hulse Meet Your Guide interview. Part one aired just over a week ago on May 22nd. Robert's led an eventful life, so that first part was just the early chapters of the Robert Hulse story. His childhood, Oxford, his running away to join the circus, so to speak, and various fun bits and mishaps and adventures of his going down the launch ramp of young adulthood. Robert's the founding director of the Brunel Museum, so this part, this podcast, takes up that more recent chapter in his life and ends with him going over the ground, so to speak, of his legendary 4-for-4 tour of tours. 4-for-4, it's a baseball idiom, because said legendary tour starts with a guided Thames boat cruise. Yes, it's Robert doing the guiding, which is followed by a guided walk on the Isle of Dogs, which is then followed by a short guided tunnel descent. And then, to make it 4-for-4, a 1,000 batting percentage, that baseball idiom again, it ends with Robert guiding that magical riverside hamlet, Rotherhithe. Anyway, the starting point for the interview is Robert talking about, wait for it, Lou Reed's girlfriend. Well, her boyfriend, that's just a peek in detail. She's a very fine American artist who worked with Robert on the Brunel Museum. She did the Concrete Fishes. She had form, because she's the artist who ringed Milton Keynes with Concrete Cows, as Robert tells us. Have a listen.
The lead into that was this wonderful woman. She, her name is Liz Lay. She dated Lou Reed. She studied art at Pratt University, and she did the Concrete Cows in Milton Keynes, and she did Concrete Fishes and Concrete Sculpture at the Brunel Museum. That was the story. Okay, well, she did Concrete Cows in Milton Keynes. She's the Arts Council's first artist in residence. And when I moved here to Rotherhithe, she visited. We're still in touch. And I asked her what she would do with the broken-down, ramshackle, graffiti-daubed shaft and gardens of the museum. And she came up with Concrete Fishes. She made... There are concrete cows in Milton Keynes, and there is a ring of concrete fishes around the Brunel shaft in Rotherhithe. So that's the connection. And, of course, the other happy coincidence is that Brunel used Roman cement or concrete to build the tunnel. So it's it all joins up quite nicely.
And then something else that joined up was walking tours. Now, look, when I met you, if someone had suggested to me, you know, a walking tour in Rotherhithe, I would have thought, okay, well, sure, maybe twice a year. And, of course, I just sat back in awe as I watched you take it to, well, daily. We were doing more Brunel walks than we were doing Jack the Ripper walks. So impressive. So impressive.
Well, thank you. It's been a great pleasure. And I'm sure it'll come back. I'm sure it'll come back.
Yeah.
And I have something to say which is important for me, and it is that this is all about stories. It's all about telling stories. The my work in the theatre, my work in community arts. I trained to teach drama and English, and my work with you at London Walks. It's teaching, guiding, acting, writing. It's all about stories.
You've left and out something, Robert. You lecture on ocean liners. You tell stories on ocean liners.
Well, that's true as well. Yes, it's all about stories. And you know, and that's great fun as well. And I love doing the guiding with London Walks, and I love doing the talks on the ocean liners. And something else which I think is important is we don't just tell stories for other people. We tell them for ourselves. And there's an extraordinary line in, see if I can get it right, it's in The Cocktail Party, the T.S. Eliot verse drama. And one of the characters says, he is a man to whom nothing has happened at a terrifying sequence of events. In other words, we make sense of ourselves by telling stories.
Mm.
And if things happen to you and you don't make sense of them, you don't fit them into your idea of yourself, as well as T.S. Eliot or Brunel, if you don't do that, then they haven't happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So telling stories is crucial to understanding everything.
Mm-hmm.
And stories change all the time, because when I tell a story, or when you tell a story, or when you take a guided walk, or when I take a guided walk, it's not just the man or the woman or the event that you're talking about. It is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what that means to you, that pedestal, that mm-hmm. statue, that momentous historical happening. It is what that means to you that changes, and changes the way you describe it. So that's, as you know, I have an Instagram which I post on, and I admire yours, and I love doing mine, and mine is called All Our Stories. Mm-hmm. but yours are stories as well. It's more than taking people around bits of London, wonderful city though it is. It's what London means to you and to me, and how that shines through when we try and describe it and explain it to other people.
It's so important what you've just said. You know, this is really the huge, huge difference between what I call summer holiday guiding. You know, they're given a script, they're told to memorize it, they're told to recite it word for word. And, you know, that's just a different order altogether from what world-class guides do. I mean, I love hearing this. We hear this a lot. I've been on this same walk with two other guides and it's very different. Everybody does it their own way, and they've got their... And, you know, I've been doing this long enough now, and I think you probably have as well. You know, looking back, I go through phases. I went through a sort of Churchill phase, and then I was into an architecture phase, social history phase, and you know, it has to do with your reading and how you're changing as a person. And as you say, it's your view of the city we live in and the life we lead here.
That's right. I can't draw very well. But John Ruskin, the Pre-Raphaelite, John Ruskin, the lecturer, he set up something called the St. George Society. And he believes, thinking of what you and I have just been saying, he believes that drawing is important because it's how you make sense of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I make sense of the world by telling stories, and they do change because I change, because things mean different things to me from this time to the next time. And Ruskin is saying that drawing is the same, and my American artist friend would say the same as well, that you put the stuff you put some of yourself into the drawing and into the talking and into the lectures and into the guided walks. And it is very different from the holiday guiding that you just described. Mm-hmm. And, of course, much richer.
I'll fit something that I've just discovered 3 months ago to what you've just said. And this is, well, John Constable said this, and I latched right on to it. It's become kind of my credo. He said, we see nothing till we truly understand it.
Yes.
You know, for an artist, I understand that. But boy, does that speak to what it is to be a guide as well. And it also speaks to the experience that the people who are on the receiving end of what the guide sets out get from it as well. We see nothing till we truly understand it.
Yes. And when I was a drama teacher, I don't know if I told you, my first job as a drama teacher was in 1984, where I taught at George Orwell's school. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's like, yes. Anyway, at George Orwell's school, I taught drama, and the debate then was, is drama a subject that you teach, or is drama a method by which we explore everything? Mm-hmm. And of course it's both, but sometimes education is a little simplistic and doesn't see that. But we would use drama as a tool for making all kinds of investigations. And the best example I can think of about not truly seeing until you understand, the best I can think of is a history lesson where we looked at the Luddites. Now, from our post-Victorian perspective, the Luddites are the crazy people who smash up machines. Mm-hmm. So they are dragging us back into the past, into those dark, benighted days. But if you do a study of the Luddites, in which you have the man whose job has been taken away from him because of this machine, and the family of that man who are starving because his job has been taken away from him because of that machine, it's an entirely different subject. Mm. And I do remember in those days, we had a terrible conservative education minister who didn't understand empathy. Mm-hmm. I mean, history is about, it's not about dates, it's about understanding what it was like for that man or woman. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding, not just recording the dates.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Let's, we've banged on wonderfully for about an hour. I want to end with that the walk that you do that meets at Embankment. I mean, when I went on that, you know, I had, like, I think everybody has a sort of list of my favorite walks. And, you know, that experience for me, I mean, that walk went straight onto that list and to the top of that list. Everything about it wonderful. And you know, there's something about it that's unique. I think it's effectively four walks in one, because there's the business on the river, the boat ride, and you are guiding on that boat ride, and then the Isle of Dogs, and that walk to the slipways. Is that what they're called? And
yes, slipways, so, launchways. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a kind of second element, and then astonishingly, it's a very short
railway journey. It's, I believe it's just one stop, but you guide there in the tunnel and on the platform. And then we get on and we're in Rotherhithe. And obviously you guide there. And I mean, you could say there's a fifth element, because often it ends at the pub if people want to end it. That most wonderful, the Mayflower.
The Mayflower, so, the dear Mayflower.
I love that walk. I would recommend that above all others, really. It's
there. Well, you're very kind. I mean, it's a thrill to do it. And it does combine all those elements. And a very common remark, only slightly tongue-in-cheek, at the end of those walks is, well, Robert, we've walked, we've got on the boat, we've taken a train, we've taken a tube train. Why no helicopters?
Yeah, exactly.
And we know that the London is here because of the river, and so exploring London, the river is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And Brunel, who's thought of as a Bristol man, began here in London, always lived in London. There are three bridges over the Thames, and they're by Brunel, by the father, the grandfather, or the grandson. There's a crossing underneath the river, which is the beginning of the tube system. There's the launch ramps on the Isle of Dogs, which is where Brunel built the biggest ship in the world and the first iron ship and the first luxury cruise liner, and the ship that has changed everything, the fastest passage to India, the ancestor of the supertanker, of the big cargo ships. These are all important things that were done in this city we love and that have changed everything. So it's a privilege to be able to do that walk and boat trip. And as well as being important, it's a bit nutty, you know? I mean, sometimes very important things are a little worthy and a little dull. But this is not only the birthplace of the world city and commuting, it's the world's first underwater banquet hall, the world's first underwater shopping arcade, the world's first underwater fairground.
Mm-hmm.
It's a list of stories that kind of defy the imagination. And sometimes important discoveries don't kind of light the fire, but these are just mad, mad, mad stuff. Really important, but actually really mad as well.
And that's with the focus narrowed right to Brunel and his astonishing achievements. But Rotherhithe itself is a kind of miracle. There's nothing else like it in London. So that's not to be forgotten either, just how special Absolutely. That place is.
Yeah, well,
Those views back, Robert. You know, those views back from the riverside. You know, back toward the city and Tower Bridge, and then what the river does there. It, you know, it's getting broad shouldered. It's on its way. It's very exciting. The Thames right there,
and the wonderful descriptions of the Thames from Conrad, who talks about that current taking. The seeds of empire. Oh, no, no, the seeds, and he calls it the germs of empire. So he's actually quite ambivalent about it, and, well, he should be. But he talks about ships from the Golden Hind with its round flanks, fat with treasure, to the Erebus and the Terror, the two ships that Franklin went out on looking for the Northwest Passage and never returned on. And we pass not only Drake's replica Golden Hind, but we pass the creek in Deptford, where the original was moored for 100 years. Mm. It became an icon. It became a sort of British totem. I love the idea that that important ship, the Great Eastern, had such a difficult time being launched. You know, good ideas, sometimes they do struggle to get down the slipway. Brunel's other boat in Bristol, the Great Britain, the Great Eastern is 6 times bigger than the Great Britain in Bristol. And what I love about the Great Britain is it was tricky launching the Great Eastern, but the Great Bristol's famous ship, which survives, and it's a wonderful exhibition and a wonderful museum. The Great Britain was built by a Frenchman and launched by a German because Queen Victoria missed and Prince Albert caught the bottle on the way back and smashed it into the side. If there's anything jingoistic about the story of London and Brunel and the globe which we go past, it's undercut by, I hope, this sense of the farcical. It's a silly business, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's end on this note. Do you remember? I hope you remember. I'm sure you remember. Now, I'm thinking it was probably about 13 months ago, just when this thing was taking hold. You had left the museum, and you and I were talking about expanding this program of walks that connect up with boat rides, and we were going to go, and you were going to go in both directions, downstream and upstream, and we were very excited about all the possibilities. Well, we didn't know at the time that this COVID nightmare, would do for us for a whole year. And now it looks like it's going to be around for, longer. But I hope that you're as still as committed to and as excited about that idea as I am. You know, we will get there and we'll make that happen. Is that right? Come on, reassure me, Robert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm wedded to the river. When I first met you many years ago, you explained to us all that if you live in London, you're 90% River Thames. Isn't that right? Do you remember saying
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So it's not just flowing between the banks. It's because we're whatever the percentage is of water. It's part of us. We're part of it. Mm. When we tell stories, we don't just describe what we're describing. We describe what it means to us, and we're describing ourselves. Mm. I would love to do more on the river. I did go west the other week with my dear wife, Elspeth, and there's lots more to see. And you've got an embassy up west now.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we will, Robert. We will.
Yes, we surely will.
You put it well. You said sometimes great ideas struggle to be born, and it's difficult to get down the slipways. But we will. So there you go.
Brunel was a showman, David, and I'd like to think that we are.
Okay, well, that's great, and I'm going to be banging on your door again. Sometime in the next year, for because you've got more stories to tell, Robert.
I surely do.
We'll do this again.
We will always have stories so long as we're trying to make sense of it. You know,
exactly.
It's looking for meaning. Stories are looking for meaning.
Exactly.
It's such a confusing world. We need more stories.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, many, many thanks, and I'll get this edited and probably get it up tonight.
Well, good luck with that, but it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
Okay.
All best. Yeah, ciao.